talk today on the subject Rise Up and Walk, and this is an area where I'm going to be honest with you. Caleb had such good content the last couple of weeks, and I don't feel like you've finished it. And I was like, let's just keep going, Caleb. Let's go. I'll just join with you and keep going. And the Lord really put this on my heart really strong. And I thought, when he first put it on there, I thought, God, I've talked about all of this before. But today I'm going to talk about allowing God to heal places in us that destabilize us. It's very important. When I spoke last, I talked about the transference of the mantle. And that transference of the mantle will not be a comfortable thing if there are wounds underneath it. The mantle is not meant to cover wounds. It's meant to empower us to go. And the power of the mantle can be drained if we have wounds. It's like having the brake on in your car and you're pushing on the gas and you've got high octane fuel in there and your car is just bouncing, wanting to go, but you can't go because the brake's on. When you do go, it's pretty loud and pretty weird and off to the side. And these are what wounds do to us. I want to talk about it a little bit. And I will tell you that today I'm giving up about a fourth of my time to videos. I'm going to play you four videos. One of them is just about Thomas, and three of them are from the movie The Shack. Has anybody watched The Shack in here? I watched it Saturday, so I did a good pre-cry because I was trashed. I mean, I literally was crying so hard I was shaking, and it was ugly. So I hope I got all that out so I can actually talk when we're done. But I'm going to show you three clips from this because they go along with it. And I've said it a number of times that the movie The Shack is just a lesson on how God heals us in places. Just so good. We've heard the term that wounds can defile. They can also distort. They can cover. Wounds do many, many things. And so many of us think, well, we don't have wounds and we don't, because we don't see them, and we've lived with some of the things for so long that we don't realize that these things are not good in our lives. And we've just allowed them, and it's just who I am. You know what? God wants to change who we are sometimes, and he's changed us. I know that a little kid is free. Some of you in the back didn't get to hear, but did y'all hear the little girl singing up here? Just hear her singing? That was uninhibited. She wasn't even on key in a lot of the areas. She didn't care. She was just singing. How many of us would come up and sing like that? And did we do it when we were kids? What did we do when we were kids that somebody told us that we should be embarrassed over? This is one of the areas that I'm not real fond about public school in one area, because it gets a group of kids together and then there is a socially correct way to do things. And some of the most powerful gifts and some of the most amazing heart gifts are restrained because kids make fun of them. And we might say, they're just kids, it doesn't mean anything. Wounds set in as a little kid. Because who told us to be not to be embarrassed? I don't remember who it was, but who told Adam and Eve they were naked? You see what I'm saying? And sometimes we get away from our child place, and I want to go back to my child place. The Bible says a child shall lead us, and sometimes big kids need to lead us. We need to go back. He said, if you don't become as a child, you can't enter in. And sometimes, in just that open-hearted freedom where we existed before somebody told us that we should be embarrassed about that. And wounds that we've incurred, and we might not call them wounds, and you can call them whatever you want. I kind of call them wounds because they stop us from going places. that God wants us to go. He wants us to be free. God just wants us to just be free. And sometimes we're so shut up in all that we do. We have so many different areas of woundings and all. We have financial wounds. I know I had to get rid of some financial wounds. I had areas where I didn't think I was going to pay my bills, and it scared me, and that fear wounded me. And I got on down the road, and they say of the generation that went through the Depression, that they have a tendency not to throw things away because they didn't have. And they have a tendency to, that's where we got clean your plate and all of that, because of wounds. Because they had great lack and they went to bed hungry and it injured them. And we don't think of those as injured. Sometimes we've had plans or we felt like God told us things and they've not come to pass yet. And our disappointments cause wounds. You know what I'm saying? And those disappointments. And you say, well, but what does that do? If your heart is wounded, I watched my dad. My dad had a heart attack. And since then, he's had multiple heart, different things in his heart. And dad, if dad could not run from here to that door, he just doesn't have the heart capacity to. When your heart is wounded, it takes your strength away. My dad is a miracle for where he is and for what he can do right now with all what he's gone through in his heart. But when our spiritual heart is damaged, we don't have full strength to do what we're supposed to. The Lord just... There's a girl, you're in your 30s, and your want to is so strong you can't stand it, but your actual output isn't, and God wants to heal areas in you. He's called you to a lot of cool things. And if you'll just put your hand on your heart, I'm going to release it. It's coming through already, Father. In Jesus' name, heal that area. Heal that area, Papa. Heal that area. You just keep putting your hand on yourself every day. It's medicine. 1 week, hand on your heart. Father, I receive healing. Let God heal you. Offenses. We've been offended with things. There have been purposed attacks on us. People have literally said things about us. And we've closed up. I mean, it's an attack and it hurts. It hurts, especially if the person's close to you. You thought they were a friend. Spousal wounds. This is a huge one, spousal wounds. I can tell when I feel wounded, when me and Julie might have a little riff. I can tell when I feel wounded because when I'm not wounded, I'm just super open. But when I'm wounded, it's like, yeah, here's a hug. Thank you. Love you. And move on past. There's a noticeable difference in me. And I can tell that it's there. And sometimes I have to go be by myself and whatever and just be healed. Not because she purposely said anything. It just was dangerous in that area. I used to teach myself to shut my heart off immediately if danger came by. By the way, I like our new podcast, The Ability, because Julie and I, we went to bed and we have separate rooms because I snore really, really loud and she sleeps really, really light. So I was over laying down. All of a sudden, my door pops open and she comes in and just grabs me and hugs me. I was listening to your message at like 1.75 speed and it really ministered to me. I want to tell you that I love you. And I'm like... We're putting more sermons on that place every night where you're listening to a sermon. This is awesome, right? But it's openness. It's being able to be open with your spouse. And just mistreatment. Maybe you've been mistreated. And all, these are just a handful of the areas But I want you to kind of put yourself when a lot of times disappointment gets us and wounds, and we train so hard and we don't get there. And it feels like what Ben said, our family, man, I just been working so hard and I've been diving into God and my foundation just got trashed. Like I thought it was solid and I'm so, Jesus, I thought we were going someplace. I thought we were headed someplace, Lord. You said we're going to take over the world and we're going to change the world. And I've been dedicating my life to you. And now I don't even know where we're going right now. Well, this has had to be what Thomas felt like. Remember that one of the disciples, Thomas? They call him Doubting Thomas. I don't call him Doubting Thomas. But they call him Doubting Thomas. Jesus told, he trained them. These guys went through some pretty strict training. When you're told you can't go bury your own father, that's pretty strict. When you're called Satan because you said something wrong, this is tough training. And Jesus called them on it because he needed them to be pure. They went out and they felt the power of the kingdom come through them. And now Jesus is dead. And some people take things different than others, but it hit Thomas really hard. And Thomas might have even heard from a certain sect there of the Jewish community that there is no life after this life. And he's just dead. And now what do we do? And I know that Jesus told him, and we're going to see a video clip. He said, Thomas, come feel my wounds. Come here and feel them. Look. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that later, but here's a clip from about Thomas.
One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord."
"Unless I see the scars of the nails in his hands, and put my finger on those scars, and my hand in his side, I will not believe."
A week later, the disciples were together again indoors, and Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but Jesus came and stood among them.
"Peace be with you. Put your finger here and look at my hands. Then reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop your doubting and believe."
"My Lord and my God."
"Do you believe because you see me? How happy are those who believe without seeing me?
In his disciples' presence, Jesus performed many other miracles which are not written down in this book. But these have been written in order that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through your faith in him, you may have life."
I wanted to show that. Wasn't that so cool? Jesus, let me ask you this. Could he have made his wounds go away? Yeah. Sure he could have. Why would he leave them? Why would you leave wounds? If it wasn't for anybody else. I watched a number of different videos. One video had a complete hole through his hand. Other videos just had the wound there. But why would you leave those? And I propose this to you, that if it wasn't for anybody else, it was for Thomas. Thomas was healed by the wounds of Jesus. He said, I won't believe. He was healed of unbelief. There were things deeper than that that caused the unbelief. Disappointments. They caused him to not believe. That's where the heart gets weak. And he was healed by those wounds. And I want to propose this to you. Where you're wounded the most, you will heal the most. God doesn't want to completely take away the scars and the wounds because he wants you to share them with other people because they're going to heal other people. Some of you that's gone through some of the worst crap on the planet, if you will allow him just to heal you completely of things that hurt so bad that you've screamed at night over them and asked God why, but if you will allow him, he will use your wounds to heal other people. The day that we're coming into, Papa needs you. You know, we've been taught in Christianity that we're just ornamental, that God doesn't need us. God needs us. He has no other voice on this earth except us. It is through us and the power that he gave us that we have the ability to help other people and to lead them. Jesus healed a man in his heart from unbelief and many things by his wounds. And God wants to use our wounds to heal others. I have to tell you that when from a little kid, when I heard that my biological father had signed a paper that said anybody could adopt him, I shut my heart off. I just closed up, and I practiced closing up. She's my first girlfriend because I would get about two dates deep with a girl and say, this is too volatile. I could get hurt. Nope. Boom. And the closeness that tried to pry my heart open was not about to happen, and I wouldn't let it happen. And when her and I got married, you've heard me say this, it was a hell week of a honeymoon. It was not a fun honeymoon. We went down to Branson. A lady gave us a condo, and we went down to Branson, and I spent the entire week pushing away from her, resulting in me collapsing up in Kansas City in a motel room because she tried to hug me. And in my mind, I'm going, one side of my mind is going, you're an idiot. What is wrong with you? And in the other part of me, it was like, I couldn't let her, I can't. To where I just collapsed crying. And she came across and prayed for me. And when she started praying for me, I saw in my spirit man, I saw in my mind, I saw a hand out in front of me that was going down a corridor going boom, 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 hitting doors, boom, 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 boom. And this happened for a long time. And I said, God, what's going on? He said, I'm opening places in your heart that have been closed for a long, long time. And so that was the beginning of me being healed. Do you know right now that I went from that where I was petrified of opening myself up farther than other people opened themselves up to me because I could get hurt if I did. I went from that closed area to right now, I don't care what you do to me, you won't stop me from loving you. I will love you before you ever make a move. I will love you and show you love, talk love, build you up no matter what you think of me. That is a huge transformation. I had maybe one portion of his love when that happened, and I am filled with it and want to get more full. That's a transformation. And it is a miracle inside of me that this happened. And it's gone in stages, but I've had to allow the Lord to heal places in me. Nellie, come here, sister. I think I was studying about this the other day, and Nellie and Aaron were over, and I think, or maybe I told him, somehow brought up this is what I was talking about, and then Nellie looked at me and she goes, I was so mad at you when you told me that the first time. But I told her that she needed to get healed. Would you kind of just share a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, if you go talk to Bob, be careful what you say because you might be up here talking, okay? So you'd think I would learn that by now. Well, he was talking about it, and I went the last few days. I think it was Friday night when I was over there, and I was like, why did I think he was heartless and mean? You know, I mean, in my flesh, I was like, I just wanted you to like cuddle me and be like, oh, it's going to be okay and all this kind of thing. But I had to really reflect on it. And what the Lord showed me is I did not trust him. And so I was offended with him. I was offended with him because of disappointments of things that I thought he should have done. Why did this happen when I was younger?
With God, you were offended
with
God.
God. Okay. And so you represented that. So when you brought truth to me, I was like, it's almost like I saw, you know, have you ever had a piece of glass stuck in your foot or your hand,
yeah,
or something like that? And you know how you touch it and it just really, really hurts. Well, every time he brought that up, that's what it felt like. It felt like, no, I got to protect that. It hurts too bad. So no, I'm not going to go there with it. And so that was why I thought you were heartless. But I grew up with grandparents who prayed, which I knew God was there, and I would talk to him, but I didn't trust him. And so I would be like, okay, God, why did this happen? And he highlighted at a particular moment with me when I said, God, why did this happen? Because this has been the main thing that I see play in my head, you know, if I go back to when I was little. And I was like, where were you? Where were you? And I will never forget, I was sitting in this church in the front row several years ago, and it was like a TV screen, and he showed me that he was right behind me, and he was holding me like this. But because I couldn't see it with my physical eyes, I didn't think he was there. And so that caused a lot of things for me to not be able to trust. So when Bob started bringing that, I was like, okay. And I overthink things, really, and I question things a lot. So I go away after we talk about something, and I go, okay, why did that hurt me? I figure it out. Why did that hurt me? Okay, then there must be something there. Then I go, number two, then what is it? And I allow the Father to show me what is going on, because what he showed me is this, is, you know, we've all had people hurt us. We've all had, you know, all these experiences that have happened to us, and it causes us to close off. And for me, I love people so deep that the enemy wanted to shut that gift off in me. So as I would get close to people and they hurt me, I would step back and block off and go, nope, I'm not going there because that hurts too much. But what I learned in the last several years is that I had to go outside myself and see people the way that God sees them. And that helped me get healed on the inside. It helped me realize, because I also realized the enemy was sneaking in to try to steal me. Because for a period of time, I closed off and I'm like, I don't want to be around people. I hid for about a year. I know some of you are like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I just got to hide because I don't want to be around people, because people associated pain. But I had to walk through that myself and realize, okay, I still have to love. Love is a risk. It always is. When you love people, it's a risk. And so I had to step out and just love people. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. But Bob may hurt me if I love him. Okay, well, God said, you know, he said, well, people rejected me. You know, and I was like, okay. Judas sat at my table and I ate Last Supper with him. And that just played over in my head. And I'm like, okay, I have to love past what, because I don't think that, I mean, everybody's like, oh, Mama Nelly, you love people. No, I didn't even know what love was until this last season and this season of reflecting. And a lot of people have said, well, Nelly, you've had Bob there to kind of talk you through things and help you get through all that stuff. Bob just told me the things and I had to do the work myself. And I remember sitting and just asking God, why is this in me? Why I don't want this in me. I need to know what is it? And I'll never forget. It's, I don't know if you've seen a magician when they pull the scarves out of their mouth. And I was sitting in here. I prayed and the Lord just started taking things from the past out of me. And it was almost like that's what I saw. He was pulling it because I had, for all the years, had kind of just, I had these little stacks and had stuffed it. And he just kept having to pull and pull and pull and pull. And so, if you will just let him heal you. I mean, I just can't even, some of the things that's happened in my life, like I'm able to minister to people who have hurt me so deeply and I love them. And it's kind of wild because the old Nellie would have been like, I don't want to have anything to do with you because you've hurt me. And I'm able to just go past because it doesn't matter if I'm right or they're wrong. What matters is the relationship and do I love them enough? Because God always speaks to me and he says, I love them just as much as I love you. Because there was an individual that I didn't even want to be involved with, you know, probably 10 years ago. And we were driving to the place where they were and I was like, I'm not going, I don't like this. And the Lord said, I love them just as much as I love you. And so I've kept that. Whenever I start to get irritated or frustrated with someone, I'm like, no, wait a minute. God loves them just as much as he loves me, and I'm going to love them past it.
Did you feel like that you got healed before you showed love, or did you get healed through?
It was in the process, because I felt like that God used me to help other people. Like when you said, where you're wounded the most, you'll heal the most. And I used to roll my eyes and say that all the time, you know, kind of when I would think. But as I started not focusing on myself, because sometimes we want to have self-pity and feel sorry for ourselves and have our little party, and it's only a party of one, and we're sitting there feeling sorry for ourselves. But it was when Bob was like, hey, talk to this person. You will probably have a lot in common with this person. I'm like, okay. And so I'll talk to him, and then I'll walk away after they've walked away, and I'm like, that's what he meant. And it was a process. I'm not saying that this has all been a walk in the park at all, because it's been years of but just staying open and just saying, I want to be healed. And sometimes I would start to close off and I would hear him say, release it. So it was a constant daily thing, just releasing, you know, the thoughts of I'm going to close off, because you want to go into self-protection and you want to close. And I'm like, nope. And so it's almost like what he did on the cross. He put his hands out like this, and that's what I have to do. That's what I've had to do in the process of just go, nope, I die to whatever I think. I'm going above it, and I'm going past it.
So good. So good. Now, I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I am. I'm so proud of Nellie. I'm just telling you. Nellie was so closed up when we first started the daycare. I've said this when she first started helping, that in the meetings we used to have, I used to have to ask her to go back, because just me saying, hey, let's do this and this, was an attack on her. It registered as an attack, and she used to cry so much.
When you were talking about healing the most, and in with her too, I know she's like this. I just heard this in my head. This is how we can heal the most, is become a facilitator of healing. So a facilitator of opening. Facilitator, that's the word, of openness. When you said that about openness, when Corey, some of you on the live might not have heard the very beginning, but when Corey came up, I felt like maybe there were some testimonies today. Actually, it's turned into that the whole day. Corey came up, you could feel that in the room. Ben started sharing, actually right after worship, which that wasn't on the live, but was in the room. You could tell in the atmosphere of the room, like he was locating what people were feeling today, what people needed today. And healing in their hearts. And Bob looked at me and he's like, oh my word, he's talking about exactly what, and that's how the Holy Spirit works. He's talking about what I'm going to talk about. This is awesome. But when Corey came up and told his testimony.
In fairness, I went and asked Corey if he would share.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yes. Well, good. See, then that's a facilitator too, of openness. You create that openness of other people to get healed. So somebody has to start somewhere with courage. And once you experience that, it's almost like the chicken or the egg, which comes first. I don't always know, but somebody has bravery enough to say, I'm going to tell my story. I it's important to tell your story, because your story heals other people. Your story causes openness. And even Thomas, he was transparent, like, I don't know if I believe that. And that's okay too. It starts a conversation, and it starts the process of openness, of admission. Like, I don't know if I really believe that. I don't know how I feel. I'm confused. That's okay too. And you start that openness and transparency, and that's where healing starts. And you can become a facilitator of that with other people around. So I know that Nellie, through all the years that she's gone through, because I've walked through a lot of her pain with her, and going through her past. When she first came, I just would have prayer meetings at my house, and I'm like, come on with me. Because I recognized in her heart, like how deep her heart was, and her desire And so I would just take her with me everywhere I go. Come on. And then I would, you know, call me Bossy Betty, but sometimes like, come on, Nellie, let's do this. And she'd just do it. And that is how that process happens, because I've learned this from my therapist family, children, kids, that you can't become self-aware without somebody else. You can't do it on your own. It takes a village. You say it takes a village to raise children. It takes a village for us all to become self-aware and to understand where those hurts are. Why am I acting the way I'm acting? Like,
a village is dangerous if you've got wounds.
It is scary. Yes,
yeah,
it is.
It is very scary.
Like we've been betrayed, but lone wolf thing doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So be a facilitator of openness and think about that. Pray about it. God, help me to be sensitive. Or if I'm feeling frustrated or hurting, send somebody in my life that helped me process through
Boom.
That.
Boom. So good. So when we're closed, wounds can distort our prophetic, our ability to hear. I love what Sean Bowles said. Sean Bowles is one of the best with prophetic words and probably one of my favorite prophets who's gone home to be with the Lord, Bob Jones. Sean noticed, and he tells this Sean tells about this in a couple places that I found. He said he heard Bob prophesying against California. And he said it was so harsh and so damning. There was no hope in it. And he started questioning, Bob, that sounded really harsh. And this and this. And he said, we traced it back to there was a place that did not receive him there in California. They didn't receive Bob. And it caused a wound. And it had been there for so many years. When he started to prophesy, it came out very harsh. Isn't that crazy? I'll be honest with you. I watch Sean Bowles and I'm thinking, wow, man, he's so open. How can he do that? But wounds cause us to close up to others. They cause us to distort past events. I can't, that hurts so bad. And there might need to be a rearranging. Okay, honestly, sometimes we don't see things that we think should come about, and they might be just generated by our own imagination. They might be something the Lord told us, but they've not come about, and they do wound us in the sense that I know children can manipulate this. They can be taught to manipulate it, but if you watch a little child and you tell them no, sometimes their face does like this. Why? Why? And you think, well, you know, and they can use it to manipulate. I know the whole gamut. I had four kids and watched others. But in the pureness of it, it registers as a pain to that child. Yeah, it's rejection. It's painful. And that's why they tear up like that. Well, we're the same. Sometimes we tear up when we think we're told no. We think that we're being rejected. We think we associate delay as rejection. And sometimes we close up. And God wants to heal us. I know that there is a pathway. This is why I asked Nellie. Because Nellie would come and she would tell me about a place of or I would see a place where she needed to open up, and I would tell her, now you need to open that place up. And if you come to me and you need me to counsel you, when I locate an area that is closed, I'll push you into it and you will fight me. You will act like a cat that's trying to be pushed into a boot. You'll fight me and claws will do this and you'll look at me like I'm evil, but I need to push you into the pain, because being pushed into the pain will heal you. If you avoid the pain, you will never be healed. And I want to show this verse clip here in The Shack, the movie The Shack, and it's just about understanding forgiveness. The guy, the lead in here, his daughter was murdered, and he blamed God, and he blamed everybody, and so the whole in this movie, God brings him to this place called The Shack miraculously, and I'm just telling you this is where the religious world had trouble with this movie. Because Papa or God is portrayed in one area as a black lady, In another area, as an Indian man, the Holy Spirit is this pretty, I think she's Japanese girl, and Jesus is this Hispanic young guy. And it messed people up. That's up. People looked more of, whoa, can you prove that in the Bible, rather than the fruit of what come out of this. And it's a stupid way of interpreting things and trying to interpret the Bible. It's so dumb. But that setup, this guy is being, he had unforgiveness. And let's show that clip, Caleb.
He killed my daughter. I want to hurt him. I want him to hurt like he hurt me. I want you to hurt him.
I know you do. But he too is my son, and I want to redeem him.
Redeem him? He should burn in hell.
So we're back to you as the judge.
So you just let him get away with it?
Nobody gets away with anything. Everything bears consequences.
What he did
was horrible. I'm not asking you to excuse what he did. I'm asking you to trust me to do what's right and to know what's best.
And then what?
Forgiveness doesn't establish your relationship. It's just about letting go of his throat. Mac, the pain inside is devouring you, robbing you of joy and crippling your capacity to love.
I can't.
You're not stuck because you can't. You're stuck because you won't.
His daughter liked ladybugs. That's what that ladybug
means. You don't have to do this alone. I'm here with you.
I don't know how.
Just say it out loud.
See why I bawled through it? Man. But I thought I wanted to play that because at the heart of most wounding is the need for forgiveness. We need to forgive the wounder. It's hard. We need to love dangerously because it'll help us walk out of that closed box that we've set ourselves into that we think safety. We need to extend ourselves farther than what is safe. If you want healed, I'm giving you principles. If you noticed what the guy, Papa, who represented God, if you noticed what he said, he told him, you won't. It's not because you can't, it's because you won't. We have to make steps that are very hard and very dangerous. I've gone through them, and I will tell you that the fruit of it is so powerful that I would never, ever go back. I would endure the pain 10 times as much to get where I am today because I love at a level. And what I used to think would weaken me because I was so, it would make me too vulnerable to people. What I used to think would do that to me has made me so strong that you can't penetrate me with even words or actions or nothing. You don't bother me. And people used to equal pain to me. And now I take joy in people. People, and I'm going back to the way when I was a kid, I was so inquisitive. I was inquisitive to the point of being annoying. I remember my dad, after about the 50th question, one day driving down the road, I asked another one, "Dad, why is that?" I pointed at the power lines, and Dad finally said, "Could you quit just asking me questions so much?" And I mean, I had just rocket fired questions at him. I want to be annoying. I want to be the person that is so free and so bubbly that everybody goes, "Whoa, what's with him?" I want to be that guy. Because that guy is free. Because when I was a kid, I was that guy. And I used to raise my hand in class, want to ask a question, answer questions, whether I knew them or not, whether I got them wrong or not. But I became the guy who sat on my hands because I got made fun of. Everybody gets made fun of. Everybody's wounded. Everybody has wounds. What are we going to do with them? You know, one of the things that I see God says to do in His Word, when people can't walk, He doesn't walk up and say, "I've healed you, test your legs out." He says, "Stand up and walk." Sometimes we've just got to stand up and walk when we don't think we have strength. Sometimes when you're convinced that your legs won't work, you still have to stand up and walk. Jesus said it over and over, "Rise up, take your bed and walk." He said to the man who was paralyzed, "Rise up, take your bed and go home." Even Peter said it. He said, "Silver and gold have I none. What I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk." See, we have to stand and walk and push into areas of pain. And we don't want to because they hurt. To go back and revisit an area, how do we know that we have those? Well, if you find yourself acting, Caleb, I want this to be one of your 95 weirds. When you act weird around other people for some reason, ask yourself why. Somebody came in and they were like, "How are you doing?" And you're like, "That person scares me." Why? Why would that scare you? People being too open. People being too free. You trying to interact with somebody. Maybe a family member. I'll just ask you this. That family member, that friend who you thought was your friend that talked bad about you, can you go be open with them? Then you're close still. Remember, loving somebody doesn't mean trusting them. And being open with somebody has nothing to do with trusting them. I can love somebody without trusting them, and I can love somebody without first establishing a relationship. Rise up and walk. Get up, take up your bed, and go. Activate an area in you that you thought could not work or doesn't work. Activate that area because it works. This next video is the part that just followed that one. And I want you to know that God wants to take you back to areas of wounding because it's taking you back to that area of pain and dealing with it properly that will help you be healed and walk properly. And that's what He's doing with this man. He actually has led him from that place where he said, "I forgive," which was the first step. And now he led him into a garden area where the man looked up and there was his little girl that had been murdered. Who wants to go back to that type of pain? If we don't, we won't be healed. Caleb, show that clip. God made him wrap his little girl in that. You're going to see the pain. Papa says.
It does a body good to let the healing waters flow. Those are your tears, Mackenzie.
You hear? Those are your tears.
I've been liking them for a long time.
She said, we've been collecting them for a long time. Ooh, I told you. The Bible says he came to heal the brokenhearted. And I want to just play this last cup. I probably should have turned that last one and this one around and showed this one first. But anytime you have an argument whether somebody needs forgiveness, and if you noticed in this, the pathway was forgiveness and then healing. Forgiveness and then healing, and that's usually the pathway to being healed. If you have trouble wrestling with whether to forgive them, this next clip will help you.
What about the man who preys on innocent little girls?
Daddy! He's put on a judgment seat. This is wisdom that's asking him this.
Is that man guilty?
I would damn him now.
And what of his father? The man who twisted him into this deviant monster?
I would damn him too.
How can you stop there? Doesn't the legacy of brokenness go all the way back to Adam? And what about God? Isn't he at fault? He set all this in motion, especially if he knew the outcome.
Do you want me to say it? Absolutely. God is to blame.
Well, if it's so easy for you to judge God, you must choose one of your children to spend eternity in heaven. The other will go to hell.
Can't
do what? I'm only asking you to do something you believe God does. So? Who will go to hell? You could choose Kate. She said some pretty hurtful things. She shuts you out. You're not even sure if she loves you anymore. Or you could choose Josh. He's being disobedient, sneaking out, lying to you. You didn't know that. Mackenzie, make your choice.
I don't want to do this anymore. I can't do this.
Can't do what?
I can't. I won't.
You must.
This isn't a game.
You have to.
You know what? This isn't fair.
You must.
It isn't fair. Instead of them.
Yes. He wisdom was making him choose to send one of his children to heaven and one of them to hell, and he said, "I can't." And she said, "You have to." And he just kept saying, "I won't." And the final thing that he said, "I can't." He said, "Take me." Which is basically what our Father did for us. Our Father paid instead of making us pay. He paid. And so just shut your eyes real quickly. I don't know whether it will be a great opening here. I do know this, that where you're wounded the most, you can heal the most. I carry heart healing with me. And I know I do, and it amazes me. I can feel it coming through me when someone opens up and when they're ready to be healed, when they've gone through. Sometimes I've had to ask people to forgive. Sometimes I've had to ask them to open up different areas, but the closed. But when they're ready to be healed, I can feel it, and it doubles me over, and it pours into them, and I've watched people get healed on the inside. I've also turned and had to watch people walk it out. And sometimes some things that I've said and sometimes be praying for them was the first step. But where are you wounded? You know what? Let's do this. Let's don't go out to the hospital and ask the surgeon to fix us. And then close ourselves off and don't let him touch us. I also know this, that one time the Lord told me, he said, if people will let me, I will anesthetize them with the Holy Spirit at such a level. This is why the Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as being drunk in the Holy Spirit, because the Lord can anesthetize you. And he can take and make what would seem like such great pain, he can make it, there be no pain while he fixes you. I know one major area that I went through where I went through great amounts of healing. It almost was like I couldn't keep my hands from worshiping wherever I was. And I was listening to worship music. And as I was, healing would pour into me. And I spent half the time with my hand on my heart. It was a process. But the capacity that it has brought is so amazing. And Papa wants to tell you, he needs you to be at full capacity. Your giftings, who you are, what he needs you to share, I loved what Corey said. There was a walk out and a walk through of what, of going from being closed, feeling fearful, to where you can get up on a stage and sing. Everybody says, well, if I sound like Cora, I'd get up on a stage too. But I want you to know that everybody doesn't look beautiful in the mirror. No matter how beautiful you are, you don't walk into a mirror and say, I'm beautiful. Most people don't think, yeah, I have a voice of an angel. Let Papa heal you. Let's start it out here. And then if you need me to pray for you, I'm going to invite you to come on up here after I dismiss people. But let's start it here. We've done this multiple times. Just put your hand on your heart and ask him, Papa, I need your healing. And then just receive it. Areas of wounding, name them. Say that, Father, right there. That area. First, I forgive you, Father. I forgive you for holding that. I forgive those who harmed me. I forgive whatever caused the disappointment. And I receive, there it goes. I receive healing. I receive healing. Healing, Father. Healing, Father. Wounds from a child, from being made fun of. Make that commitment to him. Father, I want you to heal me of anything that causes me not to be me the way you put me in this earth to be. If there are wounds, if there are things that have caused me to close up, and I want you to know that it's still growing in me because I'm far from the capacity of my father. God opened me up in an area, another financial area. Fear, he opened me up. I watched a video and heard Elon Musk say that I was down to two companies. And my financial advisors were telling me I needed to take my last $30 million and pump it into one of them, because if I split it and pumped it into both of them, they'd both die and I could bring life to one of them. And he said, I chose to do both of them because they were both my kids. And I thought, God, we would all run and sit on $30 million. We wouldn't spend our last $30 million to do anything. We'd tuck it in safety. And then I thought, well, when you're not wounded by money, you wouldn't do that. And even when I'm saying it, I can feel healing go into me. In areas of finances that have scared me. Wow. That's a good sermon when you get yourself healed at the end of your own sermon. Jesus. Papa, heal us. Restore to us the strength. Make us impenetrable. Not because we have established ourselves in a doctrine, or because we have protected ourselves from bad people, but because we have become so full of love and we're so open that we're stronger than ever. Give him permission to do that in your life. And then hold on, because he's going to take you to the graves of places that you have wounds. He's going to confront you with those areas, and it's going to feel painful, and you're going to want to run from it. Some of you have parental wounds. Your first step is to forgive your parents. I've said this before. Every parent fails. And God chose the Big Ten to put in there, honor your mother and father, and he did it for a reason. He put honor your mother and father with some very wicked moral scriptures. And he did it for a reason, because you have to make a choice to honor your parents. And some of you might have parental wounds, and you're viewing your spouse in such a way because that parental wound is there, and Papa needs to heal that in you. You shut off to your spouse. You're wanting your spouse to be a certain way. If your spouse would just mold and quit fighting you and allow you to mold them to how you need them, because you need them to be safe. I used to do that. I wanted Julie to be safe, so I didn't want her to do anything that would be volatile, and anything that come close to her being volatile, I would immediately try and shut off, because I was safe. And I found out I wasn't really safe. I was just preparing a prison for me and her. And if any of you know this, she doesn't go to prison very, very, very easily. And I'm glad. And Julie said this earlier, you might need some people around you to help you to expose an area. Just don't shut it off and don't run from the pain. Because you've got a glorious, powerful thing on the other end of that thing. If you've never watched this movie, that guy went back to his family and was able to open up and minister to his kids and his wife like he'd never done before. Papa, heal us. I want you to know that you might have to revision who Papa is, because that in itself might be pain. But he loves you. You know how I know he loves you? Because he loves that one that hurt you. The one that you want to hurt, he won't. He loves him. He loves really bad people. And there's going to be some really, really bad people who we think should go to hell. They're going to be in heaven because our Papa loved them. And he wants them there. And he has sent his Holy Spirit to transform them. Thank you, Papa, for loving us. Thank you for healing us. Thank you, Jesus, that you heal the broken. And you never promised me safety, but you promised me healing. And I do it on a weekly basis. Thank you. You're so amazing. Father, you're so amazing. The Lord just showed me that some of you, your view of Him even is skewed by things that are wounds. When He heals you, you're going to worship like you've never worshiped. Thank you, Papa. Father, thank you for these. Lord, today as we go, I just release them to forward them into their journey. God, one day I'm going to heal those through the wounds that I've incurred. I'm going to show them my wounds, and they're going to be healed. Wow. So good. He's so good. Papa is so good. Here's your test. Can you look at your spouse and just tell them that you love them unconditionally? Can you take somebody who has, can you go brag on somebody knowing that it's vulnerable to you? Because, gosh, if I brag them up, I can't make myself less than them. Because that's going to make, I can't make myself less than them. And by bragging them up, that would just humble yourself and go tell somebody something that's going to lift them up. Amen. Stand to your feet.